maybe that'll be a good thing for the Eagles offensive coordinator. We will see. We got one super chat here. Philly Dom, what's up, my brother? Thank you, man, for the super chat. We appreciate you guys checking in. I hope everybody had a great weekend. I haven't talked to you guys since Wednesday. Good to be back on the show. Philly Don says, hey, John, after 2 days of rookie minicamp, what are your first impressions of the O-line coach, Chris Cooper?
Well, I don't get to see all 2 days. I get to see 20 minutes of the first day. So basically, all I get to see is individual drills. And he broke out the medicine ball and the big stick, which are different than what they've been doing with Jeff Stoutland. So a little bit different. It's only six guys there, I think, offensive linemen, most notably Markell Bell, Micah Morris. So I'm not going to make any grandiose decisions, but he does have a history with, you know, Minnesota had some pretty good offensive tackles with Darisaw and Brian O'Neill. So hopefully he can help. My initial impression, which I said is just, you know, Chris was played about a decade for the Broncos, just under 8 or 9 years. And he was a good offensive lineman. And my first is just how much bigger Markell Bell was than him. He was like a child next to Markell Bell, who could block out the sun. That was my first impression, just how, how big Markell Bell is.
And he's bigger. He's bigger than, if you're bigger than Lane Johnson and Jordan Mailata, you're pretty fucking big. So Markell Bell. So what was that? I guess that was your first impression of Markell Bell. Did he look like he could be a viable contender for a swing position spot this year or not? Not yet.
No, I definitely think he can be. I think that's the hope. You know, you do have Fred Johnson.
Yeah, like would they keep them both or would they try and pick one?
I mean, at some point, it's, you know, you probably only keep 10. They've kept 11 offensive linemen because of their depth in the past. More likely, you're going to keep 10 because they don't have as many proven commodities. So you have the five starters. You start doing it. Bell's going to make the team six. They're probably not going to cut Micah Morris. That's seven. You got to have Drew Kendall. That's eight. And then everybody else is fighting for two or three spots. And you would think Fred would be in there, but some of the young guys step up. Miles Hinton, Cameron Williams, Holland Pierce, and then the interior guys, if they do bring in Michael Jordan, Willie Lampkin, they got a bunch of bodies, and they're all going to be fighting for two or three spots, most likely two. So if Markell Bell proves he can handle it, or they think he can handle it, Fred might be in some trouble. But I do think because of the injury history of Lane that they'll keep them both. That's my early assessment. But no need to if you think Markell can do it.
Markell was left in college, left tackle, because obviously Francis Malinoa was right tackle. Did he have any experience at right? I mean, you know, sometimes some dudes can do it easily, switch. Some dudes struggle to switch sides. I don't know how Markell Bell would do, but at that size, you got to think you probably want him doing what he's used to doing, but I don't know how much experience he has at right, if he does have any.
Just wrote about Markell on SI, so people can check that out. But no, in his college career, he's played strictly left tackle, both at the junior college level in Miami. But, you know, he gave his offensive line coach at Miami a lot of credit because he always had him cross training at right tackle as well, just in case. So he says he's comfortable with it. Now he's been working with Duke Mannyweather, who does the offensive line mastermind thing every year, personal sort of offensive line coach. And Duke, because he's a smart guy, knew most teams were going to look at him at right tackle. So since he graduated, he's been working nothing but right tackle, because Duke was trying to turn him into a right tackle. And it's interesting, too, because Lane Johnson started offensive line masterminds with Duke, and they do it every year. And he already met Lane through that. So he's had a relationship with Lane for a couple of years now, long before he even knew he'd be coming to the Eagles. So a lot of positive signs. And in Howie, the most positive is when he said this guy became a passion player for us. So I think he was one of those guys that if you look at early mock drafts, like a lot of people had this guy because he's raw, yada, yada. He's only got 1 year in Miami. And they said day three pick. And all of a sudden it started to become known that the NFL probably liked this guy better than the draft people. And all of a sudden he started coming up the board and I saw people putting him in the second round. And he ended up early in the third round. That was the Jets pick for when they drafted him. So very early in the third round. I think he's got a huge ceiling, no pun intended, because he's a huge guy, but his wingspan is 7'3". Like he's like a set, his arm length is so long. I can't even come up with a comparable arm length. So he's like a 7'3" guy out on the edge. And like I said, with a speed rush, even if you beat him, it's going to take you forever to get around him. Just because he's so big. Now, the negative of that is, you know, the whole idea of offensive line, defensive line, low man wins, yada, yada, yada. And it's very hard to get your pad level low when you're that naturally tall. So that's something he's got to focus on. And you know, but now everybody seems to be 6'6", 6'7", playing tackle in the NFL now. So he just happens to be 6'9¼". But yeah, I think,
Johnny.
Yeah, I think he's got a big upside. Big upside.
And you were high on him. You like the pick when they make.
This episode sponsored by Apollo Neuro. Having problems getting a good night's sleep? Apollo Neuro may be the help your body needs. Apollo Neuro is a wearable designed to calm your nervous system so you can fall asleep faster and sleep deeper without medication or side effects. It works by sending gentle, silent vibrations through your wrist that signal safety to your body, like a hug for your nervous system. The result? Fewer wake-ups, deeper sleep, and mornings where you actually feel rested. It's not just a sleep tracker. Apollo actively helps you regulate your body, and Smart Vibes AI automatically personalizes the experience for sleep, calm, focus, and recovery. It's scientifically backed, with clinical trial participants gaining up to 60 minutes of sleep a night. Try it risk-free for 30 days. Visit apolloneuro.com/audio and take $99 off today.
Get it. I remember you made you like to pick.
Yeah, I put him in my mock, Eagles only mock, but I think it was a high value pick at that stage, especially when you don't get the offensive lineman in the first round. Obviously, it became, if they're not getting the offensive lineman in the first round, you thought they'd get it in the second round. They went in a different direction. And so to get that player in the third round, I thought was pretty good value.
Yep, no doubt about it. It's going to be interesting to see how some of these draft picks pan out for the Eagles this year. I don't know how many will play, John, but it does feel like our top three picks have a good chance to make an impact on the team. That doesn't mean they will, because, look, if Lane and my lot are healthy the whole year, well, Markell Bell, we're not going to knock him for it, but he's not going to see much of the field. But it does feel like there's a good opportunity for each of the top three picks to have an impact on the team this year. I don't know how much they will, but it does feel like that opportunity is there.
Yeah, well, you know, it depends. And Mekhi's the one that you think would get pretty significant playing time.
He's got to be the two, right, John? I mean, I know we're going
to. Well, eventually. I don't think he has to be week one, but eventually, by midseason, he's got
to. I'm going to make the bold prediction that he's the number two week one.
Well, it's possible. I mean, if he goes out, but you got to earn it. They're going to make him earn it.
Yeah,
and the only reason I say is, you know, Wicks has experience in this offense, and I'm sure Sean Mannion's more comfortable with him. And, you know, he'll have the advantage when it comes to learning the terminology and all that stuff. So, you know, it is a rookie. It might take a while, but ultimately his talent will certainly take over. So I wouldn't panic if he doesn't have it by week one. But, yeah, if he picks it up, either way, he's got, you know, Dontayvion Wicks can't be your two for the whole season. Well, he can be, literally, but you wouldn't want it, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, good stuff, Johnny Mac. I'm excited to see. I'm excited to see kind of how it all shakes out. What's next now for the Birds? So you had rookie minicamp. Is there anything coming up outside of OTAs that will commence, I guess, toward the end of May?
Yeah, the OTAs are, I think the first one is May 27th, somewhere in that range. Typically, we get some veteran players here and there. I know we're not getting anybody this week. We'll see if we get anybody moving forward. Because they're down there every day for 9 weeks, basically. Now, it's voluntary. Guys can check in, check out. More for the veteran players, obviously. Maybe they're there for a couple days. Maybe they have to do something. Eagles generally get good attendance, but we're not going to obviously see it from day to day. Yeah, May 26th, 27th, 29th is the first cluster of OTAs. June 1st, 2nd, and 4th is the second cluster. And then mandatory minicamp is June 9th and June 10th. So that's your off-season work for your Philadelphia Eagles.
What's it look like post June 20th? That's when I got to get. I got the big wedding on June 20th, John.
That's the dead period, so that's a good time.
That was kind of part of the reason that it fell there for very specific reason, John.
I mean, yeah, as dead as the NFL gets, that's you know, guys. Yeah, that's vacation time for guys. You know, after minicamp to basically mid-July. Is the one, and that's where everybody, you know, goes and takes vacations and coaches spend times with their families and yada yada. That's the one dead period.
Yeah,
not for us, but
no, not for us. But yeah, at least it's the time of the off season. Not much is going on there, so that'll be the speculation. I'm sure there'll be a bunch of lists coming out.
Oh, list season, baby.
Deal with John.
How is Justin Herbert ahead of Jalen Hurts? He hasn't won a Super Bowl this season. Man, coming to you.
We have to do that every year. That's a royal pain in the ass. I'm turning it, John. I'm turning into you earlier than I anticipated, my friend. Why am I dreading that already coming up this offseason? We will see how it all shakes out. All right, guys, we got about 7-8 minutes left on the show today. Again, as I mentioned earlier, it's good to be back in the saddle. I'm shaking off a little rust, boys. I'm shaking, or and girls. I'm shaking off some rust out here. So good to be back, though. We were talking about racing earlier, John. I forgot that. Yeah, look, maybe I'll take the crown as the racer. This was my prize for winning the head-to-head at the racetrack with me and all my cousins and my brother this weekend.
Nice. We
did head-to-head at the racing track.
They left you won?
I'm like, thanks for the crown.
Maybe you're
the... I'll put it in the backdrop on my shows.
Well, you got what, like 80 speeding tickets going down Broad Street? So maybe are.
No,
maybe,
that was maybe. A royal pin. It's a racket. It's a racket.
I know it's a racket.
You're going 34 miles an hour. People are blowing by you on Broad Street, and you're still getting tickets in the mail. It's like, what the fuck?
Yeah, that is. Boy, I'd look into that. Did all those people get tickets? Man.
I'm sure they do. It's all
and yet the city still has problems.
I get emails every day. They've added me to their email list. All the people that are fighting back on the inconsistencies of camera ticketing and the rights violations and all sorts of different things.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I'll fight with you there. Those things are bullshit.
Yeah, it's BS, but it is what it is. So, all right, good stuff. J-Mac, got 6 minutes here left to go. On the show, it is good to see the rookies out there, but overall, pretty good haul. I'm excited to see kind of what comes next here with this Eagles team, and obviously the AJ Brown thing is still looming. And
AJ's back. AJ is back.
AJ's my question on AJ.
No, I'm talking about Alexander James.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. My question on A.J. Brown, Eagles A.J. Brown, is I think we've pigeonholed too much into New England, John. Not that he's going to be back. He's not. He's going to be gone. I think we've pigeonholed too much on New England. Like, now maybe the deal, maybe it is a case, John, like the deal's already done. I don't know if it is or not, but I don't think Howie's just going to be like, oh, yeah, deal with New England. Like, he's looking for the best return here. He's going to have to get a couple teams involved, I think, to be able to get that return. I don't know if you agree with that, but that's
kind of you always talk about leverage. I mean, it's better to have leverage. So if you get two teams involved, that's the whole point. That's why you try to create it. It's been the word around the league for a while that it's going to be New England. Doesn't mean it's right. Likely a future first round pick. Maybe it's, I can't say done, but maybe all the, you just got to cross the T's and dot the I's. It wouldn't surprise me somewhere. Maybe some of that had to do with the Rabel Rossini stuff and all that bullshit. People are so hyper focused on it. I would say this. You know, AJ to New England would be my number one projection. AJ to somebody else would be number two, and AJ to Philadelphia would be number three.
What was two?
AJ to somebody else.
Oh, to somebody else. So anybody. Anybody. Could the Chiefs be an option? I swear I see them floated out. No, right? They're not doing that.
I haven't looked at the Chiefs and what they did. Let me see.
What were the four teams AJ gave? There were the Chiefs, the Chargers, the Patriots, and who else? The Bills? No, I forget.
The Bills were on there. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that was the
four. I think the Rams were on there as well. There might have been. I don't know
how many. AJ Brown's four teams. Yeah, Patriots, Bills, Chiefs, and Chargers. Yeah, no, there was no.
Well, he seemed acceptable of the Rams. But
yeah, right.
Why wouldn't he be? Yeah, I know how much he likes and respects Matthew Stafford, but everybody does. Yeah, I mean, they could still use some help. They have the Chiefs, Rashee Rice, Xavier Worthy, Tyquan Thornton, which is, I mean, Rice is a good player. I don't know if he can count on him. And then the other two guys can run. So they could use some help, you know. Never say never. But, yeah, I mean, the Chiefs. And I would think the Bills could still use some help because they're sort of betting on, well, they – I don't know if they're really, but they seem to be, hey, let's reboot things with Keon Coleman. I'm like, that means, you know, they did. I think everybody shut down the Bills after they traded for DJ Moore. Well, it's like, I don't think that was a good trade. So now they have DJ Moore, Khalil Shakir, who's,
yeah, come on. DJ Moore is not it to be a one for a contending team. At least I don't
think. And I think Shakir is a good slot player, but I don't. And I have Josh Palmer, Keon Coleman, Scott. They drafted Skylar Bell. I think they could still use help. So you never know. But they at least have numbers at the position. I would say Kansas City doesn't even have numbers really past the top three.
Yeah. I just kind of got the sense of, or I forget where I saw someone say it. They were just like, why are we so focused on the Patriots? And I'm like, it's a good point. I don't see how he is like, just like, all right, unless the deal's already done. That's not to say the Patriots aren't interested. I'm just saying, I don't think they would be the only team that the Eagles would be talking to, you know?
Well, they weren't at first. I think it's whittled down to that. All I can tell you is that certainly the belief around the league is he's going to the Patriots. Doesn't mean it's always right, but that's certainly the belief.
Yeah, well, we'll find out. We'll find out what happens with AJ. 28 days, everybody, from June 1st. It's the next countdown of the offseason in Philadelphia. It was the draft for a while. We've now concluded that, and now 28 days until June 1st, where we will find out what the fate of AJ Brown and the Philadelphia Eagles is. So we will find that out. Johnny Mac, your final thoughts here on a Monday edition. It's good to be back in the chair talking with you, my friend, fresh off a rookie mini camp. Your final thoughts today.
Final thoughts, game one. Hyped up Flyers playing too. We didn't give the Flyers any love. They lost game one to Carolina tonight, I believe. Am I getting that right? I don't want to screw
the Flyers?
Yeah.
Is it tonight?
What I'm looking at.
Yeah, tonight. Yeah, so both of them play tonight. That stinks. Yeah. They're both on the same schedule right now.
Yeah. So game two for them, they must win for them. Sixers game one at Madison Square Garden. That's always exciting. So Celebrity Row.
I don't know if you're in must win territory for the Flyers yet. That'd be game three to me.
Well, but it must win. Yeah, I mean, did I say must win? It's a 7-game series, technically. You got to be down three before it's must win, but pretty pivotal game, I would say.
Yeah,
you don't want to go down. You want to try and steal one. So big game is what I should have said for the Flyers. All playoff games are big, though, even that. And then who knows? Maybe Michael Jordan. Maybe the Eagles make a splash with Michael Jordan.
Maybe they do, J-Mac. Maybe they do, my friend. All right, John, good show today, man. I will catch up with you tomorrow on a Tuesday edition of the show. Looking forward to it. Thank you, brother.
All right, see you all. Thanks.
Thanks, Jay. Thanks, Johnny Mac. There's J-Mac here joining us. Follow him at JF McMullen. Read all his work at Sports Illustrated. Did a great job today on the show. Good to be back with all of you guys. I missed everybody. Hope everybody had a great weekend. All right, I had a good weekend. A lot of cool shit I did. I'll show you some of that today on Xander Time. Not going to lie to you, pretty freaking tired after that weekend. You know, you don't get much sleep, and then you're 3 hours back. So you fly home yesterday. It's a five-hour flight. You lose the 3 hours. You're like, whoa. You know, it messes you up a little bit. But all good. I'm happy to be back in the saddle, man. I am happy to be back in the saddle. I missed it. I missed doing my shows. I missed being on air. So it was good. It is good to be back. It's good to see everybody. Crowley, Mayan, what's up, man? Rico, Mart, Rasputin's in here. Brandon Howard, Stephen D'Angelo, what's up, brother? Bird Gang Girl, how you doing? Brandon Howard, C-Sist, Daz Deals, what up, Daz? Good to see everybody. So I do appreciate all of you guys. I'm not sure what you guys made of what happened in Eagle Land the last couple of days. You just saw a little bit of the rookie mini camp, obviously, but look, I always like to ask you guys because fans have different takeaways than obviously a guy like McMullen, like Johnny Mack, who's a reporter of the team and got to be down there for it. But there's always some excitement, I think, when you get a chance to see the rookies wearing an Eagle jersey for the first time. I know reporters tend to not care because, oh, yeah, you don't see that much. You don't learn anything, you know, and they don't care about people wearing Eagles jerseys, but we're Eagle fans. I mean, you're an Eagle fan. You like to see a new player come in. Mekhi Lemon goes from wearing USC colors to Eagle colors. Feels good. It's cool to see. At least it is for me. So I'm always interested in what you guys thought of everything. Darbitron, that's a good question. How was the track, Daz? It was sick. I'll talk about that in a second, dude. All right. It was freaking awesome. But we did something else that was actually way crazier, which I'll tell you guys about. I couldn't believe these things were even legal or existed, to be honest with you. Here's Brandon. What's up, Brandon? I'm feeling really optimistic. Didn't think I'd feel this good 2 months ago. That's a good thing. That's a good thing, man. I was out in Scottsdale, Arizona, Philly Dumb. I was out in Scottsdale. Sis says, I love people who refuse to say Dak is good, diehard Eagle fan in the soul, but dude is clearly a good quarterback. Yeah, that's not hard to admit. I don't know why Eagles fans struggle with that. Dak is a very strong quarterback, but he also has deficiencies. I mean, if you don't come up in big moments, you're going to get criticized for it, and that's fair. Jalen, on the other hand, has come up very big in big moments. he deserves a lot of credit for that. So, J-Mac could, no, he could not. He could not at all. If the Sixers get out of the second round, well, that would be the first time in a while. Have they ever made it out of the second round in this era? No, right? That's never happened. So we'll see. Here's Rasputin. What's up, dude? I think the AJ thing was just him being nice to the kids and implicitly saying goodbye to the city. Only hype I heard around camp was Lemon, and I'm buying. I agree. That was AJ saying, hey, people write stuff, but I love all you guys, especially my young fans and the people who support me, and don't ever get it twisted, you know, that I have love for all of you guys. So I think that's what it was, Rasputin. I'm fine with that. I like AJ. I'm not going to be one of the people that when AJ's gone that I hold hate in my heart. Do I think he handled everything good? No. Do I think he, you know, it was wrong in his handling of some of the narratives and even the way he kind of put the spotlight on Jalen Hurts? Yeah, I do. I think it was wrong. But am I going to hate him or have disdain in my heart toward him or hold a grudge against him? Hell no. Hell no. This team sucked before he showed up, dude, in terms of having great receiver talent. So he showed up and Eagles go on historic runs. In the 4 years AJ was here, you go to 2 Super Bowls, you win one. I mean, come on. You know, come on. I watched that dude play an Eagle, you know, an Eagle Green, make some plays that I maybe never thought I'd see an Eagle Green. You know, he had 2 touchdowns in multiple different Super Bowls. He was a huge part of this team, a huge contributor for this team. And I like AJ. I've always liked AJ. I mean, again, that doesn't mean he's perfect, you know. I like all of you. It doesn't mean you don't piss me off at times, including you, Big Mike, you know. You know, so it is what it is. I'm sure some of you guys might like me or maybe don't like me. That's fine too. But I'm sure I piss you off too. You know, so, or if you don't like me, maybe I say something you agree with every once in a while. So I got respect for AJ for sure. And it's not TL. Come on, Daz. AJ did a lot more for Eagle fans than TO did. So I'm not going to hold any negative ill will toward AJ Brown. I think he's a hell of a football player. I think he did a lot for the Philadelphia Eagles. I think he did a lot for Jalen Hurts. I think he did a lot for the Eagles organization. I think he did a lot for the fan base. I think he did a lot for everybody. So it is what it is. Here's A. Gaddy. What's up, man? Look, guys, we got what we needed out of AJ. I wish we kept him happy, but trading him right now is the best thing. We will still get value for him while implementing a new system. I agree. I think that's very fair. I do think as much as I like AJ Brown and what he's done, I do think this has become the clear time to do this. You know, it's objectively. Unfortunately, it just seems to the relationship has ceased to a certain extent, and going your separate ways is probably the best thing to do. That doesn't mean, folks, just because it's the best thing to do doesn't mean that it's going to improve your team. So I do think there is a false narrative that exists right now of fans who are like, well, it's time for AJ to go, so that means we're actually going to be better for moving on from him. And that to me is not the right way to look at it. You know, you don't get rid of a player like AJ Brown and you're like, yeah, addition by subtraction. No, stop. Stop. You know, if he was wide receiver 3 bitching, yeah, sure, addition by subtraction. When you're a player like A.J. Brown and you command defenses to slant their entire coverage to your side of the field, when you force a safety over the top to, you know, to watch you every single play, when you force guys like Steve Spagnuolo and Brian Flores to change their entire game plan to take away your area of the field, you have a bigger impact on the game than just receiving the ball every, you know, 3 or 4 plays, whatever it is. So I don't think I do dispute that thought process, that addition by subtraction with AJ. I think AJ's too good for that. AJ's too good for that. I don't think it's addition by subtraction. That doesn't mean I don't think they can overcome it or they can be as good of a team or even a better team without him. That's not my point. But it's not simply going to be boiled down to AJ going means we're going to get better. No, that can't be it. Not at least not for me. I will always love AJ to run its course. I agree, Steven. I think that's a good perspective, dude. C-Sys says, remember when AJ sat out against the Bucks for a smaller injury? T.O. played with a broken freaking leg. Good point. Good point. You never know what's at play with those, so it's tough to gauge, but. Big Mike says, the only issue I have with AJ is man up and say what his problem with wanting out of town. Big Mike, I agree in a vacuum. Like, I'd always prefer somebody who means what they says and says what they mean. But, you know, it's not that simple, Big Mike. Like, for example, you got trademark it. You have, you know, an entire franchise. You have a GM and an owner that you want to keep happy, or you want to at least appease to some extent. I mean, think about it, Big Mike. If he just comes out and says what's on his mind with no regard for the consequences of those comments, then it might mean that AJ's truthful and you might respect him for that. But it also might mean that the Eagles don't get the type of return they want. A team might not want to give up what they might for AJ Brown right now. The Eagles might be unwilling to send him to where he wants to go, which means a different return, a different looking trade. So I just think there's a lot of variables there. And I agree with your point again in a vacuum, like, you're a grown ass man. Say what, you know, your word is your bond. Say it. If you got something to say, say it. But unfortunately, this isn't, you know, a world that's free from all the other variables of a team game and things of that nature. So, Darlene says AJ doesn't want the role of the distractor. He wants the ball. I agree. And that's okay. He's entitled to that, but. Vulnerable, what's up, man? Good to see you too, brother. I had a great trip. Thanks for checking in. Z, if he says that it wouldn't let the media speculate for months. Yeah, but Big Mike, I know enough about the Eagles organization and the and specifically the PR staff. It's not that simple with them, dude. It's really not. So again, I'm not saying Big Mike that he did it all right. I'm not saying that at all. But I just don't know what he did for him and for what reason. A lot of shit goes into it. Would it help anyone if he said, I want a legacy and I don't think Jalen can get me one? That benefits nobody. I agree, Rasputin. I agree. So this weekend I went golfing, which was great in Arizona. Really cool. Really cool golf experience. I actually shot pretty well for not having golfed in almost 2 years. I haven't golfed in like 2 years. I've been so busy with work. I didn't get a chance to do it last summer, when it was warm at all. It's been 2 years since I played a round of 18. I actually golfed pretty good. I shot under 100, and I was pretty happy with that. For 2 years off, I was pretty happy with that. Like a 96, I think I came in, 96 or 97. I came in at maybe a 97, but maybe a couple of miles, maybe a little gimme on a putt or two, you know, maybe got me down, but I definitely shot under 100, which was good. So, and then we went to the track. The track was sick. All right. The track was sick. We drove Hellcats. You can see I got my hat. Radford Racing School, it says. Got the Dodge SRT there. That was unreal, dude. That was unreal. I was very solid at it. My first time ever doing something like that. I love cars, but I've never had a chance to go to a track and drive or anything like that. So that was really dope. And I won the head-to-head. I told you guys they gave me this little cone for winning the head-to-head because I had the best time of anybody, and I won all the head-to-head battles. But I don't get it. So RRS is Radford Racing School. And then it gave me this. It says Cone Killer Award. And I'm like, well, I didn't hit any cones. You're making it sound like I crushed cones. You don't want to hit the cones. You got to stay inside the cones in an autocross. So I don't know. I like the cone though. All right. I like the cone for the backdrop. All right. How's that? There you go. There's my cone for the backdrop. So, yeah, I was shredding it. I was shredding it around the track. And then the other thing we did was we did these. They're not really ATVs. We did these. I don't know if they're UTVs, but they're these Can-Ams. They're 1,000cc. So anybody who knows anything about off-road vehicles, 1,000cc is like top of the line. Like I couldn't believe they rented us these things. I mean, it was fucking crazy because we first called some places, and a bunch of these places allow you to rent like quads or ATVs out in Arizona, but they're all guided tours, right? And we were like, dude, I do not want a guided tour where some schmuck is driving 23 miles an hour in front of me, and I'm looking at the scorpions in the Mojave Desert. I don't give a shit, you know? So we wanted to rip. So we found this kind of like smaller off the cuff, like rental company. The liability on it was fucking crazy. But and it's funny, we show up to the place. It's this little shack. You drive like deep into the desert. Arizona is a crazy place, by the way. Like, crazy place. I've never been to Arizona. Crazy place. I mean, it's straight desert. But we're driving deep into the desert, 30 minutes outside Phoenix or Scottsdale, wherever the hell I was. And we get to this little tiny shack, literally, and you're driving. It's to the, you know what it reminded me of? Have any of you guys ever seen Breaking Bad? Have any of you guys ever seen Breaking Bad? You know when they go out to the damn desert and they're driving and there's just sand in the air because it's so sandy and dusty and everything? That's what it reminded me of. So we're on this off the beaten path type of thing. And we show up this little shack. And there's these damn ATVs out there. I'll find the pictures of them. Let me see if I can show. I don't know how much it'll show this, but here's the ATVs. These husky ass. I don't know why it's not locking in. I got to pull them up. But they're two-seaters. And we get in these things, and it's like you sign the liability waivers. The real quick, when we get there, I'm a little scared. I'm not going to lie. I'm not scared, but I got nervous because we get there, and there's a four-seater out front of the little shack. And you could tell it just rolled up. It got beat up. It was fucked up. And these are brand new. They're brand new. 2026s with 200 miles on them. There's a four-seater rolled up. And I'm talking to the dude in the place. He's a younger guy, you know, managing the shack and everybody checking in. And he's like, I'm like, yo, what happened to the four-seater out there? He's like, oh, yeah, our rental yesterday. You know, the guys were out there ripping. They were drinking and driving, which you're not allowed to do, obviously. And they rolled it. They rolled seven times. One dude left with a broken arm. You know, he got an ambulance, took him. And the other dude had a horrible concussion. And I'm like, oh, great. Just what I want to hear before I embark on an ATV, UTV, whatever the hell it's called, side-by-side. I don't know what you want to call it. And 1,000 cc. It's like almost 250 horsepower. But anyway, so we go out. I had my Meta glasses on. So I took a bunch of videos of them. Look, here it is. Look at that thing, dude. Look at that fucking thing. Two-seater, Can-Am, brand new. There's the motor. The suspension systems on these things were just insane. Insane. Yeah, Twiz, I know you're kind of in this. Like, you have one yourself. So, yeah, they were Can-Ams, 1,000 cc, and we're ripping out in the desert. We got 4 hours with these things. So it was me and my brother in one car, my two cousins in the other, and the other two. I mean, it was fucking crazy. We're going 70 miles an hour in these things, ripping through the desert. I'm like, this is nuts. First off, I couldn't believe the capability of the machines, right? Like, I was like, I mean, we have like this big rock and like thing just boom, climbs it immediately. You got these huge, huge like holes or like, you know, terrain that's up and down. Boom, just goes right over it. No, nothing happens. It just handles it perfectly. Now, you got to understand how to drive it and everything. And I got the feel for that pretty quickly. But I'm just like, damn, the capability of these things is unbelievable how capable they are in all different terrains. So that was wild. And then the speed. I mean, the capability also just in terms of the speed was fucking nuts. I hit 78 miles an hour. I'm like, bro, I'm done with that. I don't need to go 78 miles an hour to have fun on these things. No way. All right. I roll going 78. I might not be on the show Monday morning. So I had to be careful, but that was That was nuts, man. They were nuts. We got done. I took my hand, just went like this. I had 2 inches thick of just dust and mud on my face from it kicking up. So it was, they were wild, dude. They were wild. So those were the three activities I did. I golfed, I did the racetrack, and I did the UTV, ATV experience out in the desert. So that was pretty awesome. It was pretty awesome. It was nuts, though. It was definitely nuts. There's no doubt about it. It was nuts. I couldn't believe they let us rent the thing. That was my third takeaway. I'm like, how do they let people come in here for a couple hundred bucks and take this thing for 4 hours? Boy, their insurance claims must be nuts. And then I was talking to the dude after, and he's like, yeah, so what the owner does is he buys them brand new, keeps them for 3 months. They put about $1,000.
This episode sponsored by Apollo Neuro. Having problems getting a good night's sleep? Apollo Neuro may be the help your body needs. Apollo Neuro is a wearable designed to calm your nervous system so you can fall asleep faster and sleep deeper without medication or side effects. It works by sending gentle, silent vibrations through your wrist that signal safety to your body, like a hug for your nervous system. The result? Fewer wake-ups, deeper sleep, and mornings where you actually feel rested. It's not just a sleep tracker. Apollo actively helps you regulate your body, and Smart Vibes AI automatically personalizes the experience for sleep, calm, focus, and recovery. It's scientifically backed, with clinical trial participants gaining up to 60 minutes of sleep a night. Try it risk-free for 30 days. Visit apolloneuro.com/audio and take $99 off today.
1,000 to 1,500 miles on them as rentals. They sell them and then they buy new ones. I'm like, damn. Dude's barely got it. He probably loans them, obviously. But he has one or two payments before he turns them over, rents them out for 3 months, takes the hit on the depreciation. It's probably like 10 grand. He told me they sold them for like 35 grand. They buy them for like 45 grand. I'm like, nuts. Nuts. So, yeah, then we went out in Scottsdale a couple nights. I was still recovering from that, boys. Yeah, Sue, that's right. You're in Utah, right? Yeah. Yeah. Sue, my cousin lives in Utah right now. Are you in Utah or are you Colorado? No, you're Utah, right, Sue? Thought I remember you being in Utah. Yeah, that's where my cousin lives out there. So he knows they're huge out there too. Yeah, I was in Arizona, Sue. So it's pretty cool. Arizona, I was right outside Scottsdale. Pretty wild experience though. I'm still recovering. Oh, Gary, I'm not a drinker like that anymore either, dude. I'm not. I'm like, all right, dude, I'm fucking spent. I'm spent. So, but all right, guys, I love all you guys. I appreciate y'all doing it today. Thought we had a good show back. Like I said, shaking off a little bit of the rust, you know, not doing shows for a couple of days. That was the first time, guys, in I think 6 years that I didn't take out my computer. I took it out, but I didn't open it on Saturday or really Friday afternoon. So that was the first time I've done that. Let me tell you, I don't like doing that. That's not my favorite thing to do. I like to know where my business is. I like to know what's going on. I did not like that. But you know what they say, you're building a business, you better build it so that if you leave, it's not hell bent on you being there. So I guess that was an exercise in.